Would you grab your seats? Would you turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 1? Book of Acts chapter 1. Want to read a couple verses before we get going today? Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. No, beginning at verse 3. No, beginning at verse 1. Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus. Say Theophilus. Isn't that wild, eh? I wonder why no one has ever named their child Theophilus. Huh? You know a Theophilus? He's your uncle. Okay, let's get this straight. Where are you from? Newfoundland. Okay, that explains everything. It really does. Let me just throw this out there for the sake of the spirit. Just pray for the Newfies, would you? Just pray for them. Flo, did you hear that? You're ignoring me. Yeah, tune me out. Wow, we're not even married and she does that. That's crazy. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Go down to verse 8. "You will receive power when Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After this, he was taken up and they watched him. Last number of weeks since Resurrection Sunday, we have been looking at and talking about what it was that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, did after that miraculous morning when he walked out of the tomb, never to die again. And we looked at the 40 days that he walked on earth and what his main purpose was during that period of time. Anybody remember? In that 40 days, what was Jesus' main goal? One goal, what was it? To make them believe. That's exactly right. Move them from unbelief to believing. At the end of that 40 days, as he was blessing them on the hillside, the Bible says he lifted off the ground, disappeared in the air, went to sit at the right hand of the Father. We talked about the before the ascension, during the ascension, after the ascension, and how all of that was used in order to prepare the disciples for believing and receiving. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at what happened 10 days later on what is called Pentecost Sunday. And as the believers were gathered together praying, the Father kept his promise and sent Holy Spirit, who for the first time since Adam and Eve, other than Jesus, came not just on the disciples and believers, but entered into them, filling them and empowering them. John called it the baptism of fire. And that was our Life Jacket Sunday 2 Sundays ago. How many of you were here 2 Sundays ago with the Life Jacket message? Yeah, if you weren't here, I encourage you to look at it. I have to tell you, it was so sweet. Beautiful little Izzy. On that Sunday, the kids were up in kids' church, and at the end of the message, we were still going, just closing up, and little Izzy and all the kids were coming down, and little Izzy goes over to, I think one of, was it you or was it to Cassandra? It was Cassandra. It goes over, and she's walking up, and she looks, and she stands there listening, and then she looks, and she goes to her mom and goes, "Mom, what's Pastor Colin wearing a life jacket for?" I got to tell you, I am just amazed. I mean, up in kids' church happens all the time. I am amazed when the kids are in here. I mean, the little ones, I am amazed what they get. I'm amazed how they respond. I'm amazed what they talk about with their parents on the way home. I'm amazed when I ask questions here, how a little one who's on the floor doing whatever trips up and goes, "Yes!" Like, I'm amazed that they hear. I'm not saying they hear better than adults, but I'm telling you, they hear. So I just thought that was so sweet that Izzy would come down. And I know they explained it to her, and Izzy's got an image in her head that I believe is never going to go away. This morning, we need to build on the foundation we have laid up to this point so far. This series has been about allowing the Holy Spirit to do to us what he did to the disciples over the 50 days from Jesus' resurrection to Pentecost Sunday, empowering us to believe. If there is a title, if you grab your bulletin or your notebook, I would just like you to write at the top of that. Linda is going to throw up on the screen some of the points and the title, but I'd like you to write down over the next number of Sundays, the message is going to be called The Power Package. The Power Package. I got to just tell you, and as the Lord and I were talking about today, he said to me, Colin, today is about this statement, I believe, help my unbelief. He said, that is what today is going to be about. People going, I believe, help me in the areas where I don't believe. And so this morning I need to pray before we begin, and I just need to release that. Again, would you put your hand on your heart? If you're open, put your hand on your head. I need to pray this morning for the Holy Spirit to do to us what he did to the disciples, open their minds and allowed them to understand. Father, before we begin today, I ask for a fresh anointing. Would you take literal possession again of my mind and my mouth? I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. I thank you this morning, Father, that you have given us your Spirit to grasp the things of the kingdom, to believe for the impossible, to believe beyond what our logic, our flesh, our education would like us to believe, to move us into the realm that you moved the disciples into. Father, I thank you today that you are going to move in this place. You are going to give revelation and because of it, transformation. I release an anointing of understanding upon every person this morning who is open, whose hand is on their heart, and whose hand is on their head. I release an anointing over every person by faith. We will grasp today and be changed by it. I want to say thank you again, Father, that you will be speaking during this time. People are going to hear things in here that are not going to come out of my mouth. I thank you. They're going to hear it. They're going to know it's you, and they will capture it and be obedient to it. We believe a single word from you changes everything. And so by faith, I say thank you in advance. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody ready to receive said, amen. I want to give you a very quick review before I get into what the Lord's laid in my heart today. Some of you were here on that Sunday when I had people come to the front here. And I just want to give this really quickly before I get to this message. Some of you will remember that we talked about Adam and Eve when God made Adam out of the dust and he breathed into them and filled them with the Spirit, took Eve out of his rib, made her, and filled them with the Spirit. And we used the life jacket on Adam and Eve to be an indication of the life of the Spirit of God that was in them, not just on them, but in them. Again, we talked about the fact that when they sinned in the Garden of Eden and God said, if you eat of that, you're going to die. Well, physically, they didn't die. The dying process began. What died is the Holy Spirit in them came out of them. And from that point on, the Holy Spirit was not in them, but as we use the image, was with them or on them, but not in them. For 4,000 years in the Old Testament, all of the believers did not experience the Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit came on them, empowered them for periods of time. And like Saul, there were times when the Holy Spirit was taken from them, and we know the whole story. Up until Jesus and his baptism, we looked at Jesus when he was born. The Holy Spirit was with him. But at the baptism, when he comes out of the water with John, what happened? The sky opened up, the dove came down, landed on Jesus, and then the indication that he was the Messiah remained on him, and he was filled. The apostle or the John the Baptist was told, this is how you will know who the Messiah is. The Spirit will come on them and remain. And from Adam and Eve up until Jesus, 4,000 years, no one else had experienced that. We're going to begin today, and I don't know how far we're going to get. We're not going to get overly far. We're going to get as far as we need to today. But we're going to look at what it is that Holy Spirit empowered Jesus to do. And I just want to let you have this at the front here because I want you to get inside of your head and I want you to see this. There are three groups of people in this world. There is one group, and I represent this with a black coat. There is one group out there who are not believers and they do not have the Holy Spirit in them. And they don't even have the Holy Spirit on them. These are the non-believers. In fact, what the Bible says is, if this is what gave Adam and Eve life, and when they sinned, it came off them and had the hat, the Bible says a non-believer is literally dead. They are dead spiritually. They are dead already. They're walking around physically, but they are dead. They don't have the Holy Spirit on them. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They are dead. This jacket represents every person out there who does not have relationship with Christ and Holy Spirit. I just want to say this. If we as believers do not have a revelation of the truth of where a non-believer, their condition, there will not be a single thing inside of us that goes, gee, I should probably share Christ with them. Gee, I should probably reach out. Gee, I should probably do something that would give the Holy Spirit something to work with in their life. The truth is, if we don't have that revelation, we'll live and move every day all around. We won't give a damn about the fact that they're dead and going to hell. It's not going to capture us. And I will tell you, that is the position of a pile of people in the church today who call themselves believer. There isn't even a thought of these people on their mind. Not a thought. If that's where we are at, one of the first prayers we need to go, God, you need to awaken something that's dead inside of me. We need to do that. The second group of people is those who are believers, but they do not have the baptism or the fire on them. We talked about this. They have the Holy Spirit. You can't believe without it. They have him, but there is no power. Yeah, they go to church. They might have devotions. Yeah, they don't kill anybody. They didn't have an abortion. They're not doing drugs. They hold the form. But there's no power. And we looked at examples before, even in the New Testament, there were people who heard the message of Christ. They believed, but they had not received the baptism. And the disciples laid hands and they received. The third group is the group that has received power from on high. Holy Spirit has not come on them, but in them. And they are walking with what Jesus had. Now, this morning, I need to begin sharing with you, and that is why this series is going to be called The Power Package. I'm going to tell you straight up front. That Sunday, two Sundays ago, we stood, and again, I have stood a number of times to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray again for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talked about leaking. It's not just a one-time event. I want you to understand the design of the enemy, that if you and I have prayed and received the baptism of the Spirit, and in the spiritual realm, you and I have Holy Spirit in us and with us, if I'm the enemy, I'll do everything in my power that you do not know what comes with this. For you to have prayed and for you to have believed and for you to have Holy Spirit in you, but for you to go, I really don't know what the power package that came. If it's on me, but I don't know what happens to me, we're not going to function in this. I'll tell you the way the Lord laid it out for me, and I'm going to share it with you exactly. Through this series, we're going to look at when the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, and we've talked about this before. Jesus didn't do all that he did because he was Jesus, the Son of God. No, Jesus did what he did because of Holy Spirit in him. And that is why he was able to take Holy Spirit and put Holy Spirit in his disciples. They did the same. The believers, they did the same. Not because it was Jesus, but because whoever wears this can do what Holy Spirit can do. Now, I'm going to tell you straight up, and the Lord and I were just talking about this. I remember my own journey. I'm still on it. I will tell you again what I'm going to share with you today. You are going to battle believing. You are. I know that. I know that every power of hell, every power of your flesh, every religious spirit, everything is working against you and I grasping the things of the Spirit, believing it, and beginning to walk into it. I'm just telling you straight up. I'm going to say this. I'm believing for something different, but I'm going to say it. I know that at the end of today, at the end of a series of messages on this, I know that some of you are going to sit here, listen, will walk out. There will be zero change in your life. Zero. I know that. I'm prophesying that every person changes. But I know that there will be some who will hear, you're going to see, you're going to encounter what I'm going to share with you. You will make choices up here. There will be zero impact in your life. Zero. It's not the Father's will. It's not the Holy Spirit's will. If the Holy Spirit can do it with Jesus, if he can do it with the disciples, if he can do it with the believers, if he can do it with anybody. He can do it with me. He could do it with you. The issue is, will we believe? I'm going to share with you what comes with this package. And we're going to talk about that in light of what happened to Jesus when he received Holy Spirit and it stayed on him and in him. What happened to him? And so let's begin. I'm going to have Linda shoot it up on the screen. I want to encourage you again. We're going to only look at a number today, but I'll tell you as we go through this, we're going to end up in the teens. And not a single one of you will remember all of them unless you have captured them. And again, I want to tell you, if you just hear it and walk out the door, you will retain 3%. If you write it down, you'll retain 15%. If you look at it again sometime after today, you will retain 30%. If you actually repeat it over a period of time, you will receive 45%, 60%, up to 80%. If you study it and get into it, you can glean almost 100%. I wish I had the ability to move you from 3% to 80%. I don't. That is a choice you make, and I encourage you to make that choice today. Let's begin. Would you write down number one? When Holy Spirit came on Jesus and filled him, it gave him the power to hear the voice of the Father with clarity. Power to hear the voice of the Father with clarity. I want you to catch this. When Jesus came out of the water at his baptism and Holy Spirit came on him, what was the first thing that Jesus did? When he came out of the water, what was the first thing he did? Now, I'll just say this. When he came out of the water, you'll remember, the dove came on, filled him. You'll remember, a voice from heaven spoke and said, what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased. We could talk all day about that one. I'm talking about what is the first thing Jesus did when he came out of the water. And don't say he climbed out, got a towel and dressed and got dry. Don't say that part. What did he do? He went to the desert. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Would you turn with Mary, turn there with me really, really quickly? Matthew chapter 3. Yep, 3. Verse 13. I'd like you to set your eyes on this. I want you to see it. Jesus came from Galilee of the Jordan to be baptized by John. John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. In that moment, the heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son in whom I'm pleased. With him I am well pleased." Oh, with whom I love, and with him I'm well pleased. Then look at verse 1. Then, right after, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Question. Why did Jesus, after his baptism, physical baptism with water and spiritual baptism, the Holy Spirit came and filled him, why did Jesus go to the desert? Answer. Holy Spirit told him to. Because he was led by the Spirit. I love how Zach said this morning when we sang Oceans. He asked the question and said, if the Spirit asked you to walk on water, how many of you would walk on water? If the Spirit asked you to stand in worship, how many of you would stand in worship? We could just go down the list. We know this verse. The sons of God are led by... Let me say it again. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Just say that with me, would you? The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Let me break this down. After the Holy Spirit came and filled Jesus, and just catch this quickly, first thing, the Holy Spirit spoke to Jesus words from the Father. That is what happened. The Spirit spoke to Jesus. Second, Jesus heard with absolute clarity those words. He heard the Father say to him through the Spirit, "Now go to the desert for 40 days and fast." You think there was any confusion in Jesus? Or do you think it was pretty clear? Pretty darn. Then third, after he heard and he knew with absolute clarity that was the Father, Jesus believed those words. He believed them. And as a result of that, number four, Jesus obeyed. He did what the Father told him to do. That means he got up, left the water, went into the wilderness, and for 40 days he fasted. Later on in Jesus' ministry, several times, in fact, Jesus made a statement, same verse about what we're talking about here, but it was done a number of times. Jesus said this. He said, "The only words that I say are the words that I what? Hear from my Father." Jesus said, "The only words that I say are the words that I hear from my Father. And the only things that I do are the things that I see my Father doing first." What was he saying? Because of Holy Spirit in him and the power that Holy Spirit gave Jesus to hear the words with clarity, he said this, "I will never say anything out of my mouth that I first don't hear coming from my Father." I don't want you to raise your hand this morning, but I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever said anything out of your mouth that did not come from the Father? Don't raise your hand. We all would. But Jesus said, "I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit to hear with clarity and I will never say anything I don't hear him say first. I will never do anything that I don't see him doing first." And I want to tell you this, it began the moment the life jacket went on him. The moment the Holy Spirit filled him. Standing in the water, filled with the Holy Spirit, he heard the voice of the Father saying to him, "I want you to go to the desert for 40 days. Now, I want you to think about this. I just finished telling you there was not a single word in Jesus' life for 3.5 years of his ministry that was independent of the Father's word. I'm trusting you get this. Some of you are going to get this and be changed by it. Every word He first heard from the Father by the power of the Spirit, then he said it. We've talked about this before, and I want you to hear this. If Jesus, at any point of his ministry, would have said a single independent word, apart from the Father, that would have been sin. Can I ask you a question? If you and I are shooting off at the mouth just because we're angry, just because we feel, just because we're thinking it, just because we've heard it, we're shooting off and we have not heard it from the Father, can I ask you a question? Would that too fall into the category of sin? It absolutely would. I want to tell you, and you need to hear it clearly, there is a pile of the church who does not want to know and believe that every word that comes out of our mouth, we are going to be accountable for. Either it's going to be in obedience or it's going to be in disobedience. Somehow we think we can say whatever we want and there's no consequence. I've been there. You've been there. Very few of us have been raised in a place where we understood the power of words, understood that if our words aren't lining up with the Father, we are doing damage. I will never forget when we were at a believers' conference, Kenneth Copeland had us stand up and he said, the Lord is telling me today we need to declare a crop failure in the lives of every one of us who have spoken things outside of the will of God. We need to declare a crop failure. I got to tell you, apart from Holy Spirit, I don't know how any person grasps the reality of the power of words that are spoken independent from hearing them from the Father. Somehow the enemy has duped us into thinking we can say whatever we want to say and there's no consequence. Almost nobody believes that if I speak independent, that I'm functioning in sin. Who believes that? Jesus? Any enlightened believer? A single word independent from the Father would have disqualified Jesus from going to the cross, and he could have never died for our sin. He would have had to die for his own. One word. Can you imagine that? One word. And let me ask you, to think that Jesus could have been disqualified because of one independent word? We need to understand Holy Spirit gave him the power during his entire life in ministry to speak only what he heard his Father tell him. And I believe when we get to heaven, we need to go, thank you, Jesus, for not being a maverick. Thank you for not being independent. Thank you for not walking in your flesh. Thank you for not shooting off your mouth. What does the Bible say in the book of James? There's not a power in hell or on earth that has the ability to tame this. But there is a power that can tame it. What is it? Let me ask, who is it? Holy Spirit. I want to tell you straight up, I can't tell you the amount of people who say to me, you know what? Every now and then I just swear, I can't help it. I go, no, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You're a believer, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're telling me that Holy Spirit does not have the power to tame and harness your tongue? That's a lie from the pit of hell. We don't have the power. The enemy won't empower us, but there is a power that has the ability to tame this sucker. And Jesus encountered it when he put that on. You will receive power when Holy Spirit comes on you. Let's look at number two. The first thing that happened when Holy Spirit came on him, Jesus was able to hear the voice of the Father. The second, the Holy Spirit gave him the power to know that those words were from the Father. That was the Father's voice. I want you to hear this. This is a verse we have heard all down through time, but I want you to get it. John chapter 10. When Jesus talked about his sheep hearing the shepherd's voice, he also said something that can't be overlooked. And this is what he said. He said, "My sheep will hear my voice. A stranger's voice, they will never follow." A stranger's voice, they will never follow. Let's stop for a second and identify. Here's the question. Who is the stranger? I want you to hear. There are two voices or two categories of voices, and I want you to hear this. Number one, there is the Father's voice, and there is a stranger's voice. So you got two categories, the Father and the stranger. With the Father's voice, there will only be one voice that we hear. The Lord and I were just talking about this morning. I got to tell you, in the 30 years of ministry and the sermons, probably one of the most impacting or the most sought after series that the Lord has ever given me in ministry is the series on how to hear the voice of God. I don't know that I've ever had greater conversations. I don't know that more people have struggled with that. I don't know more people. There probably isn't a couple weeks go by that I don't sit with someone and we talk about how to hear the voice of God with clarity. I remember as a teenager when I learned I can learn to hear the voice and began learning. That's got to be the number one issue. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want to ask you a question. How many of you have struggled? You hear voices, you know you do, but you struggle knowing if it's God's voice or if it's some other voice. Don't raise your hand. I know we all have. I want you to understand part of the power package, and it doesn't happen apart from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to know whose voice it is. Here's the two categories. Number one is the Father's voice, and he's not schizophrenic. When you learn to hear the Father's voice, you will know it's him every time. I just got to tell you, driving in this morning, was just praying. The Lord and I were just talking. And when I found out that Mary passed away, one of the things I said, "Lord, I just want you to begin speaking it, making it clear what it is that you want me to share at the funeral." I do that. I say, "Lord, would you just tell me?" Driving in this morning, the Lord and I are just talking, and I was probably just going by the auction, and all of a sudden, the Lord just laid in my heart and just spoke to me exactly what I need to share at the funeral. I got to tell you, I'm excited. I'm excited for the funeral. I heard it with absolute clarity. And I saw the picture with absolute clarity. The Lord and I are already putting it together, and I can't wait for you to see it. And I got to tell you honestly, I can't wait for the unbelieving family to see it. Just pray that they like me after, would you? I want you to know who the voice of the stranger is. The category of the Father and the stranger. Can I tell you with the stranger's voice? Let me give you three. They fall under three categories. All of you said it. Number one, a category of stranger is the devil or demons. When the devil or demons speak to us, that's a stranger. And I'll tell you, every one of us in here, the devil and demons speak to us, fiery darts. We know that happens all the time, every day. What I find really crazy, and I remember this in my life, some of you hear the voice of the enemy with greater clarity than you hear the voice of God. And some of us believe that voice even more than we believe the voice of God. That's a crazy thing, but it's a reality. But one of the stranger is the voice of the devil or demons. Can I tell you another voice of a stranger? Is somebody else's, a human, somebody else's voice that speaks to me, that is a stranger. I'm going to give you some example in a moment. I want to tell you probably the worst voice of the stranger that we hear and that impacts us the most. In fact, we make most of the decisions and most of what we believe on it. Do you know that you hear your own voice in your head your own voice, unless it lines up with the will of God, your own voice is the voice of a stranger. I'm going to break this down for you because we need to get it. Let's break it down in Jesus' life. It's going to be easier to grasp it. Let me say this to you. Jesus heard voices. Let me put that in context. Jesus heard voices in his head. He heard the Father's voice. He heard the devil's voice. He heard demon voices. He heard other people's voices all around him. And he also heard his own voice. Just like you and I, we hear voices. Now, don't go into the hospital and tell people I'm hearing voices. Don't do that out loud, because that would get you into a, you'd be checked in and have free food for a while. But I want you to hear with clarity, you and I, we hear voices. And it's either the Father, or it's the enemy, or it's other people's voices, or it's our own. It's 12 o'clock. Are you guys open to give me another 10 minutes here? You guys, who needs to go? Just raise your hand if you got to go. Okay, if you got to go, God bless you. I appreciate your honesty. That's awesome. As she shrinks down in her chair. Let me just say this, and I'll just finish off with this. We know that Jesus did. At the end of 40 days of fasting, we know the devil came to Jesus. Jesus heard the voice of the enemy. The devil tempted him. It was literally the devil that came to him and tempted him. I'll tell you, when people go, the devil made me do it, can I tell you, most of us aren't important enough for the devil to show up. He's a single entity, can't be more than place at one time. Most of us, the devil has never come to and never spoken and tempted us. We're not important enough. But Jesus did. The devil came. The devil himself didn't send demons, didn't send anybody else. The devil came, spoke to Jesus. Jesus heard the devil's voice. He heard it. And let me make this clear, with the power of the Holy Spirit in him, when God spoke, Jesus knew it was the Father. When the devil spoke, he knew it was the devil. Can you imagine if we just got to a point in our life, when I heard a voice, I go, that's God. Or I heard a voice, I go, that's the devil. Can you imagine just being just at that place? I want to tell you, every one of us are going to get there and more. He heard his voice. Jesus knew it was the stranger's voice. And that's why when the stranger said, turn that rock into stone, he goes, not doing it. Jump off the cliff, I'm not doing it. Bow down and worship me, he goes, I'm not doing it. Why? Because he knew it was a stranger, and this is what he said. I'm not going to follow the stranger's voice. Can I just say to you, if you identified the stranger's voice, whether it's the devil or demons or somebody else or even your own, if you knew it was the stranger, the Holy Spirit empowers you to go, I'm not following that voice. I'm not following it. I'll give you some examples after. The point is, Jesus heard the devil's voice. Did Jesus hear the voice of other people telling him to do things? Let me give you two examples. Do you remember when the people were amazed at his miracles and they wanted to make him king? Raise your hand if you know that passage. They wanted to make him king. Yeah. Let me ask you, if that was not what the Father was wanting for Jesus, would those voices have been the voices of a stranger in Jesus' life? Absolutely. Can you imagine if Jesus would have listened to the opinions of people? Oh, we're amazed with you. That was so powerful. What a great message. The miracles are awesome. Why don't you become our king? And if he went, yeah, maybe that's a great idea. Can you imagine if he would have followed the opinions of other people? Can I ask you a question? Are there people in the church who call themselves believer that follow the voices and the opinions of other people all the time? let me ask you, if it was not what the Father was wanting Jesus to do, would those voices of people have been the voices of strangers in Jesus' life? Let me make this clear. Every voice of a person that doesn't, it doesn't matter who they are. And I want to say this really clearly. It can be your parent. It can be your spouse. It can be your boss. It can be your best friend. Would you hear? It can even be your pastor. It can be our prime minister. It doesn't matter who they are, if their words are different from the Father's words, that person is a stranger. And Jesus said, with Holy Spirit in you, with the power that he brings, not only will you be able to hear the voices, you will know that they are not the Father's voices, and you will know they're the voice of a stranger, and you will not follow. Because you know it, you will not do what those voices are telling you to do. Can I just say this really clearly? Every person who has heard the voice that said to them, I want you to end your own life. Don't raise your hand, because a pile of us have been there. Can you imagine if every person who heard that recognized that is the voice of a stranger and I'm not following that voice? Can you imagine how many people would never end their life prematurely? I got to tell you, I wish as believers we were immune to hearing that voice. We were immune to being tempted. We were immune to ending our... I wish that would just be taken away from us. Can I tell you? Apart from Holy Spirit. Jesus said, with Holy Spirit in you, you will know the voice of a stranger, and when you know it, you will not go where it is telling you to go. You will not do what it's telling you to do, and you will not say what they are telling you to say. Let me give you one more example in Jesus' life. Matthew chapter 16. Do you remember when Jesus was telling his disciples that, guys, we got to go to Jerusalem when we get there? I'm going to suffer. The religious leaders are going to do things to me. I'm going to end up dying. And third day, I'm going to rise again. And when he was done speaking, Peter took him aside. I love this. And began to rebuke Jesus. Have you ever rebuked Jesus? We're not going to go there. That's a great message. Peter took Jesus aside, began to rebuke him, and this is what he said. Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. This is Peter. This is his closest disciple. This is the one who became the leader. This is the guy who walked on water. Okay, we're talking about the top of the top in Jesus' life. He pulls him aside and goes, never. And here is what Jesus said to him. Get behind me, Satan. And listen what Jesus said. Jesus said this, Peter, those words don't line up with the Father's. You are not talking about the Father's will. You are talking about man's will, your will. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but I want to tell you, one of the strangers in Jesus' life that the enemy used in order to cause Jesus to fall off track and miss his ultimate goal was the voice of the highest of the disciples, Peter. And Jesus knew it. By the Holy Spirit's power, Jesus knew it when it came out of Peter's mouth, and he did not follow. In fact, we know how Jesus dealt with it. Get behind me. You are a stumbling block. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. I would love to do another sermon just in that. You do not have in mind the things of God. When you have in mind the things of men, you are following the voice of a stranger. that may come sometime down the road. Let me make this clear. The voices that we hear in our lives that do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men, are a stranger's voice in order to derail. I want you to think about it this past week. Israel, Iran. Gene spoke about it earlier, thinking about Abraham. Do you know that Sarah was barren, had no kid after God came, made a covenant with Abraham. Sarah was barren. Sarah came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm not having a kid. I would like you to take my servant, Hagar, and I'd like you to sleep with her. I'd like her to get pregnant, have a child that could be my child. Can I ask you a very dumb question? Was Sarah's voice the voice of God or the voice of a stranger? Do you know men, our wives' voices can often be the voice of a stranger. And when, thank you, Jane. And when it is, we are not to follow. Do you know that what is happening right now in the Middle East would have never happened if Abraham would have heard Sarah come and go, here, sleep with my mate. And Abraham goes, just give me a minute, Sarah. Father, are you speaking through Sarah, or is that the voice of a stranger right now? And the father would have said to him, Abraham, Sarah is a stranger right now that is seeking to derail you and to mess up this world big time. Can you imagine if Abraham would have went back to Sarah and said, sweetheart, I love you, but get behind me, Satan. We would not have heard about the bunker buster. We would not have heard about the Iranian thing. We would not have heard about Hamas. We would not have heard. We would not have had a Holocaust. One husband who's getting, God, is my wife you right now? No, that is the voice of a stranger. Men, can I just say to you clearly? You need to determine when your wife speaks to you, I don't need her to like me. I need to know if this is God or if this is a stranger. If it's God, yes, let's do it. If it's a stranger, sweetheart, I'm not sleeping with your maid. Are you hearing me? Say it again. So let's just let that. Adam listened to Eve. Solomon listened to his Egyptian princess. We could just go down the list. I'm telling you. There was a pile of godly men who were incredibly stupid because they did not discern the voice of God or a stranger. Can I just move this in a different direction here? Wives? Wives, your husband's voices at times are the voice of a stranger. And when you discern that what's coming out of his mouth, what he's asking you to do, what he's saying you guys should do, when you go to God and go, God, is this you? Are you telling us to sell the farm and move to Egypt? No, that's not me, Carl. Can I just give you a quick example? When we first got married, Jane was working during one of the days and I was at home. I read the book In His Steps. Any of you read the book In His Steps? Powerful book. Powerful. I read the book In His Steps. Jane came home from work, and Jane, you remember this with clarity. She came home from work and I said, Jane, I said, we need to move out of our apartment that we were just married. We were still living in an apartment. We need to move out of our apartment. We need to move downtown Edmonton, and we need to minister to the street people. Because I read the book. And in the book, that's what he did. In Jesus' step, this is what you do. Now, praise God, my wife in that moment, she's going, well, let's talk about it a little bit. And let's take a little time to pray about this. And as we talked about it and as we prayed about it, I realized, no, this was an emotional reaction coming out of the book. I mean, it wasn't wrong if God was calling us, but we realized God was not calling us. Do you know what? If Jane would have said, okay, let's move out of the apartment, let's move downtown, that would have been the voice of a stranger. And that's not the only time when I have come to her and said something and she's had to discern and come back and go, no, call. That's not of God. That's of you. And I go, okay, let me take it back to God. Let me rework that. Let me go back. And I go to God and go, praise God for your wife who didn't follow the voice of a stranger. Can I just say to you, when you're in the church and you hear a teaching that if you are the wife, whatever your husband tells you to do, you need to submit to it and you need to just follow along, can I tell you, that is not biblical talk. You are to go to God, find out what God says, and if what your husband is saying lines up with God, then you follow. But if he is the stranger in the moment asking you to do what God is not telling you to do, who do you listen to first, God or your husband? I'll tell you, a pile of teaching in the church has been screwed up, and I cannot tell you the amount of women who have ended up doing things and going places and having stuff happen to them because they were taught, you submit to whatever the hell your husband says. Let me say it clear. When your husband speaks to you what God is telling you directly, you come in line and you submit to the voice of God through your husband. Husbands, I just want to say to you, we have swallowed a happy wife is a happy life. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that doctrine of demons? Have you ever heard that? Oh, my wife wants to do this, so whatever she wants to do, we'll just go ahead and do it because I got to keep her happy. No, can I tell you? A wife who has a husband who goes to God, finds out what God wants, and comes back and brings her in line with what God wants is a happy wife. Well, I'll sleep with Hagar because that'll keep you happy, Sarah. Oh, give me a bite of that apple and I'll keep you happy, Eve. Oh, let me build you an idol and you can worship her, Egyptian princess. And Solomon began worshiping. Just keep her happy. Whatever she wants, just keep her happy. Can I tell you the happiest wife out there is a wife who has a husband who hears the voice of God, discerns between God and a stranger, and brings her in line with the will of God. That is a happy wife. Boy, this would be popular out there, wouldn't it? I'm going to end there. You guys are so gracious. I'm going to end there. We got through two. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Anybody? I got to tell you, church, Zach, can I have you come? I got to tell you, and I'm not even going to apologize for it, church. I need to tell you, I feel such an incredible urgency from the Lord in these days. I'm just going to say it straight. I'm not going to be bringing fluff to you over the next number of weeks. And I'll tell you, if you feel led to bring a non-believer, that's great. Just pray that God has prepared their heart. I am not going to be preaching to non-believers these days. I'm going to be preaching to believers. I believe God is wanting me to preach to bring you to maturity. I believe God is wanting us to move to a point where we have revelation of who we are and what we've got, and we begin living in it. That seeker-sensitive thing, let them go somewhere else. God is saying, Colin, raise up the church to maturity. And I'll tell you again. The Lord spoke this to me at the beginning of this series, and he said this, you know what? When Dwight L. Moody made a statement, he said, I'd rather have 10 on fire than 100 simmering in the pew. That just settled it. I'm praying for 100, 150 in the pew to get on fire. But let me tell you, 10 would change our world. So I'm telling you straight up, church, God has lit something inside of me that I'm going to be sharing with you. And I'm believing the Holy Spirit is going to power you to get it. I'm believing the Holy Spirit is going to power you, as we were just talking about this beginning, empower you to hear the voice, discern the difference, know that it's God, be obedient to it, and then you begin. Just in this, we're going to look at a whole pile more, but I'll tell you, God is raising up a church today that hears his voice with clarity and does not follow the voice of a stranger. If you want to go with me, that's where we're going. Is that clear? Would you bow with me this morning, Father? I'm so thankful that you have given us your word and you have given us your spirit to help us discern your word. I'm so thankful as we look at the life of Jesus, who is empowered by you, Holy Spirit. As we look at his life, look how you empowered him, what he did. It gives us revelation to know what it is that you are empowering us to be and to do in our walk with you. I want to thank you today that every person under the sound of my voice, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have something to work with. I thank you that you are increasing our faith. I thank you that you are moving us from unbelief to belief. I thank you, Father, in these days, there is going to be greater shifting in our lives than maybe in all of our Christian walk before. We are open, Holy Spirit. Deal with the strongholds. Empower us to shut off the stranger's voice. Let us hear your voice with clarity. And Father, as Zach said this morning, and I so appreciate that word, the single obedience to the smallest leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're empowering us to do. So today I release a grace over this body. As we move in this area, Father, I want to say thank you in advance for what's going to take place. If you're listening today, and you know that as we're talking, there has never been a time in your life where you have, as an act of your will, you may have gone to church for years, you may have called yourself a Christian, but you know there has never been a time when you have prayed to receive Christ into your life and be filled with the Spirit. Now, if that is the cry of your heart, I just invite you to pray after me and just say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying for my sin. I ask you now to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. And fill me with your Spirit. Baptize me with fire. Empower me to be led by you, Holy Spirit, as true sons and daughters are. If you prayed that today, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Church, would you stand with me and receive the blessing today? I declare to you, as a child of God, what you know. The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his beautiful face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and today fill you full of his peace and full of his power. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and every person receiving said, Amen. God bless you, church. Have a great week.